Welcome to Fatima and the Family, a joint presentation of EWTN and the Fatima Family Apostolate. This apostolate was founded at the encouragement of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. And now the director and founder of the apostolate, and your host for Fatima and the Family, Father Robert J. Fox.
Welcome to the Fatima Family Apostolate Series. This apostolate exists for the sanctification of the family. And you know, people who really go to Fatima, I think what happens so very often, they're given a very deep faith. I want to tell you what happened one year when I was over there. I saw three priests from Germany saying Mass in German at the very spot where a lady appeared. And as soon as the Mass was over with, a man talking the French language, tall, very dark hair, very dark eyes, rushed up to the altar. As the priests were leaving the altar, grabbed onto the vestments of this one priest and was crying and pleading and saying something to that priest he couldn't understand. And he had to shrub him off. He didn't know what it was about. And he grabbed the second priest. Same thing happened. Third priest, pleading with him. Same thing happened. Now, he was on that elevation, like you often are, where the altar is. And then there was thousands of people down there. And his eyes just scanned over the crowd. And he saw me standing among the people in my black suit and Roman collar. And he came down to me. And he said, Father, for years and years I've been an agnostic. Just now my faith has returned. Please hear my confession. And those are the things that happen so often where Our Lady Mediatrix of Grace obtains faith and then we go on to love. Well, she knows that most of us cannot go to Fatima, although the popes have said, the present Pope said, one experiences the presence of Mary there. Pius XII said, a gracious flow in the COVID area. Our Lady knows most of us can't go over to Fatima, Portugal. But Fatima can come into your home. And so we have guests here. We have Mark and Linda Hemeniak from Chicago area, who for many years have been into the Fatima family apostolate. And, you know, I think it's so important for couples to get together, to support one another. In other words, you can begin feeling so much alone, get caught up in the spirit of consumerism. And I think if good Catholic couples would get together, share their values, and not just listening to the secular media and the secular papers, these problems of contraception and all that, they'd be able to handle. Do you think the apostolate has an effect like this on you?
I think so. When we're together and we're praying, and each couple shares intentions that they want to remember in the rosary, there are some basic ones that Mark always remembers, you know, for an end to abortion, for an end to artificial birth control. We talk about it, you know, we say, you know, we don't hear it like we should from the pulpit, and so we rely on the Holy Father, we rely on, you know, what the teachings of the Church as we're studying within the groups. And then it's talked about, you know, well, boy, it's just so wonderful to know that this is what the Church teaches, and they don't feel so alone. You know, they know,
you know, that other
reinforced.
Couples are struggling and
exactly.
Desire to live in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
As well, in your work, have you done anything with the little children?
Yes, as a matter of fact, this has been a couple years ago now, but I had a Mary's White League group, and this is a phase of the apostolate for, as you know, for little children, and there are a series of tapes, and we'd listen to a tape, and then there's discussion, questions, and the discussion booklet. But the thing that about Mary's White League that the children really liked were the rosary meditations that you wrote just for children and how they're illustrated. the children that were in the original Mary's Whiteley group that we had now are in our teen group presently. And in my parish, I teach a CCD to kindergarten, and I'm using Mary's Whiteley very effectively with 5-year-olds.
What age children?
They're 5 years old.
And they can get those audio cassettes?
They can get those. In fact, one of the little boys that I have in my class is Down syndrome. And his mother and father work with him very closely. His attention span is very good. And he can sit still and he listens for those 15 minutes. And, you know, we ask questions for discussion afterwards, after the tape is over. And the children know. It's just really geared to them. And it's like you're sitting there talking to them, Father.
And it isn't just the Mysteries of the Rosary. Well, it's the Mysteries of the Rosary,
okay.
But it goes through most of the basics of our faith.
Exactly. It starts with creation, with God, the love of God the Father for us, and goes into talking and studying about the angels, our guardian angel. In fact, just this last Sunday, the last class that I taught, the children listened to the tape on the guardian angel. And it just makes it come alive for them that this angel is real and this, you know, that
a
this
personal
is
relationship.
Personal relationship.
This is what we were hoping for, because if we're just teaching dry, abstract doctrine and Jesus, Mary, the angel never becomes real and personal, well, they're not going to identify. It's so important.
Father, I think that is perhaps the best thing that does come out of the apostolate, the fact that the youngsters, whatever age they may be, they're getting instruction from an individual. And in particular, with the tapes, audio and videotapes that you have done, they realize they're getting instruction from a priest. The cartoon type of presentations are wonderful. Some of them are just exquisite. You know, very well put
CCC,
together.
Yeah,
cartoons that teach the faith. They're animated.
Yes,
cartoons.
Yes, Father, they are so good. But I think sometimes the youngsters, they are seeking just a little bit more. They want that personal contact. They want an individual, and in particular, it is so wonderful to have a priest explaining these things to them and making them real.
Now, that's for the little children, ages, even preschoolers. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary's Whiteley, and if they called Mary's White Army, as been endorsed by the Pope, and I was asked to start it in the United States. What about teenagers? Have you been doing anything with the teenagers?
As a matter of fact, we have. That's the phase of the apostolate that for Mark and I, for me especially, is closest to my heart. We had a large teen group, and it was growing by leaps and bounds pretty much, that we decided, for that and other reasons, to split. Now we have a girls' teen group and we have a boys' teen group.
Them.
We separated them.
That's what I did with my pilgrimages.
But
boys,
you know,
and girls ones. Then they're not just flirting with each other.
Well, we found that this was partly, out of prudence, that this was a very good way to go. And Our Lady kind of helped us along, because the teen group was growing and we just couldn't fit all those young people in our living room. It's an apostolate. It's a teen group based on prayer. It's not based on social interaction.
But
although
many think you cannot get anywhere with young people unless it's mostly social. Mm-hmm. And to get together and talk about the doctrines or scripture or faith, mm-hmm, and pray, oh no, this will never work for teenagers.
Well, we found just the opposite, and it's we've heard the same thing. In fact, there are when we first started the teen group, our first teen group, now we're into our third series of teen groups. These young people, all Catholic, but they were half were homeschooled and half were public high school. They just didn't know, that was awkward. They didn't know how to pray the rosary together. Some of them didn't even know the basic prayers of the rosary. Well, within a couple of months, they were all kneeling for the whole rosary, and
and learning the basic doctrines about the Eucharist.
Exactly. And it's something that I think the lower we bring the common denominator for teens to attract them to youth groups or to attract them to learning their faith, the important things are lost.
I think it's almost an insult to what they are capable of doing. To think we have to entertain them. From the state of Washington, I remember hearing from parents, we cannot get our teenagers to come to religion classes. So this year we had many more parties, and they still didn't come. They came less. Father, do you, now this may sound like a joke, but it's not. Do you think the answer is for next year to have more parties? And I said, you're asking me, a bad thing hasn't worked. More of a bad thing, do you think that will work? What is the church in the business for? To entertain these kids, to give them a social mm-hmm. life? And you've been going for years with young people, teenage people, now you're into young adults, and you've never done this, and you're finding it hard to keep up with it.
Well, it's it spreads by word of mouth. Parents are hearing about it. They want this for their children. They see, even if they're homeschool families, or if they're attending, like our particular parish is a real haven, they want their children to be with other young people who come from families who are wanting the same thing. And we even have a dress code. You know, especially when we were still kind of co-ed, the girls couldn't wear, we said, no jeans or sweatpants. The boys couldn't wear jeans. You know, you had to be an edification for each other. This is what it is. If you don't want it, you don't have to come. But they came, and they're still coming. And now that it's separate, we still have the dress code.
And it looks like when I took over a couple thousand youth to Fatima, you know, no shorts, the girls had to wear dresses,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be some griping and complaining, but they came across and then they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't challenge them enough.
Yes,
we think, maybe we'll lose them, you know.
That's the word, challenge. That's what they need today, because in the schools they're not being challenged like probably they should be. Everything is being lowered,
mm-hmm.
and how much farther can you lower? These are the future mothers and fathers and religious, and if they're not challenged now...
What about this, you know, this Fatima Family Apostolate avoids things that are going to be expensive, as you know. If we're going to have the families and people that are raising their children, they don't have money. So I know it has to be something inexpensive, but I also have to have a vehicle of communication
mm-hmm.
to have something united. We do have our yearly annual Congress when they come to the shrine, but what the messenger, the American Heart Messenger, that's our vehicle of communications. Do you find it's a help?
Very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. There have been so many articles in the Messenger which have helped to provide an example for the youngsters that we have. They do a wonderful job in providing information and instruction to the adults as well. And sometimes they offer an insight that otherwise would not be there. A wonderful story about St. Maximilian Kolbe, various articles about the Holy Father, Evangelium Vitae, the various articles, encyclicals that he has written. This has been an absolute gold mine of information.
And the question and answer section too, Father, even the letters to the editor are very educational, very edifying. And
the letters are so kind. I was hoping somebody would really insult me so I could publish it.
But there have been some that have challenged you, Father, but I think it's, you know, overall this is just such a wonderful periodical, just a good Catholic periodical for families. There's something for every age, something for everybody.
You know, we have coming up soon by Kathy O'Donnell, her husband Timothy has a series in EWTN, and they were featured in one of our recent congresses.
Yes.
And she will have on what to do during the church year during the year.
That's so. Mark and I were talking previously and said, you know, this is something that we were hoping we could bring up, because her talk at the Congress was so inspiring. That we need to, mothers especially, we need to know where we can go. You know, that this is a domestic church, and to make it a domestic church, we need ideas, we need to know what to do.
We always try to have at least one article, every issue, just on, zeroing right on family life.
Mm-hmm.
And Have you been homeschooling your children?
Yes, in fact, we're in our 9th or 10th year now.
I believe it's 10.
Our son will be beginning his senior year in high school. We've been homeschooling him since he was in third grade, and our girls, we homeschooled through high school, and our oldest daughter graduated from Christendom College, and being homeschooled was not a hindrance in any way to being accepted into college.
No social problems.
No social problems.
You know, that's the big, I discussed that with Tim and Mary Angerser, and of course that's the big problem. You won't develop socially, but during the last years of my youth pilgrimage, it's got to be the 30 to 40% were in homeschooling of the young mm-hmm. people, young adults, and I saw no social problems among them. Why did you go to homeschooling?
We've had several occasions to have our children in different schools that were parish related, and also in public schools, mm-hmm. and yet we found that on occasion we were kind of left wanting, in the sense that the information that they got, particularly in terms of their religious education, was either somewhat confusing or in some cases in conflict with those doctrines which we knew to be true. And we needed to have a way to direct that education a little bit more towards the truth. And homeschooling provided that.
And it was, too, there were things that the children were coming home with from just the playground, from their peers, that it seemed like every night we were having to undo. We'd have to sit down mm-hmm. and have yeah. religion classes every
it
night.
It isn't just the teachers, it's their peers.
It's the peers, too. And it's kind of like Mary Ingerser said in a previous show and time that we talked, it's not that we're isolating our children. We're protecting them. We're insulating them. And if we expect them to go out into the world, like we found with our oldest daughter, who was homeschooled through high school, very sure of herself, very self-confident, very poised. You know, it's not, there's no, in fact, she mentioned to us, you know, that one of her instructors had said at Christendom, they find these young people, it doesn't take them long to be able to tell who's homeschooled, like the same experience. They're more disciplined, they study better, they make better students, and...
Well, a lot of our vocations that are coming forth today...
are from homeschool families.
Yeah, a lot of... I know of a bishop that contacted a center, Seton, out there in Front Row, Virginia, and sent me the names of these young people. And the young man, he wanted him to study for the priesthood in his diocese. You know, one thing that you hear so often, and you've been at practically every Congress that we've had for about 11 years now, only heroic Catholic families will survive. Only those parents willing to suffer martyrdom will they serve their family survive as Catholic. What do those statements mean to you? Are they extreme? Or?
No.
Not at all, Father. The idea of practicing heroic virtue is part and parcel of the home education idea. We are not just trying to establish a friendship relationship between ourselves and our children. We are establishing that parent-child relationship. And in many cases, one of the most heroic things that a parent has to do, it is to discipline his child. And sometimes that homeschooling really helps to make that a reality.
Well, you get ridiculed by other parents
mm-hmm.
sometimes, don't you?
Certainly.
And by our own family members, too. It's we're not popular for the decisions that we've made with our children, but heroic is the message of Fatima, you know, to live our daily duty, you know, to practice our daily duty. Today, that's heroic. You know, in any age, it would be heroic.
Look at those three little children. They were willing to be burned in oil.
Exactly. And
we've been talking about that little boy. I was 5 years old, and he would not steal for those older boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he let them throw him down 11 stories and be killed as a martyr for the faith.
In Chicago, this was a couple of years ago. It's being...
This is a reality. Heroes are
yeah.
every day.
Mm-hmm. Every day. You know, what I have even heard sometimes... middle-aged couples and young couples who really know what they have to do to bring up a family today, sometimes even the grandparents, their own parents, who think they're up with the times, but they're not. Oh, you don't have to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even young couple's own parents. Well, we know grandparents are very important, but I've even heard that. Well, now, as a mother and a father, what has been the most important part of your faith that helped you in raising a family?
Well, as a father, the most important thing is right at the beginning. The idea of understanding that marriage is a sacrament. It's instituted by Christ to give grace. It is a covenant between God and ourselves. You know, and what He has joined together, you cannot rend asunder. It is forever. It is indissoluble. And that helps to sustain us when that grace is available and we are willing to accept it. Even through the hard times, in our short 25 years of marriage, it has helped innumerable times in helping us get over some small personal crises or some problems with the children.
I think, too, associating that with going back to heroic, it's making the decision, praying, as Father Hardin often says, praying for the grace to receive the grace, praying for the grace to be heroic, praying for the grace to raise our children in the mind of the church and making the decisions, even if it means living in a smaller home, doing without a lot of material benefits that are not necessarily even frills in and of themselves, but to do without for the benefit of our children. And by the grace of God, we've been very fortunate that our children have come to young adulthood still intact in the faith. Many families have not been that fortunate, I suppose. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, there's a price to pay. There's a trade-off, but in eternity, that's all that's going to matter.
In this whole series, one thing I don't think that I have yet brought out emphatically, that the apostolate is intensely loyal to the magisterium, and we have many books, audios, videos, always in loyalty to the magisterium. Haven't you found that any of our material that you get, you don't have to worry, are we being presented the true faith or not?
No, this is something that has not ever been a question, and we reassure the couples too, and it's something that is just so beautiful in how it reflects all of your writings and the books and the encyclicals of the Holy Father, how they reflect exactly what God has in mind for family life, and how Fatima, you know, I think sometimes we think of Fatima as just more devotion to the rosary, but it's so much deeper than that. You know, it's especially the last apparition where the Holy Family appeared. It's a call to holiness. This is what Our Lady, she reaffirmed the Gospels, and in that, she called all of us to holiness. That's, you know, our society is not going to get better until our family life gets better, and we have to turn back to her Son.
I'm glad you brought that out, that Fatima is more than just praying the rosary. And see, this is one of the struggles I go through in trying to get this message out to more and more families. Oh, Fatima, oh, that's just an devotional thing, you know. Three little children, mm-hmm. Our Lady, after all, she did appear, and say the rosary every day. And they don't realize why the popes were able to say. It's a reaffirmation of the gospel. So we have all of this material. Really, I think, if a family from preschool on to young adulthood, a total education of all of these levels into adulthood,
mm-hmm.
And this is not simply telling the Fatima story, mm-hmm. but what Our Lady really intended in the faith. Do you find this to be true?
Yes, and her place in marriage and family life, that, you know, she is our mother. She came to Fatima as a catechist. She teaches us, if we're, you know, stubborn as we are, we turn to her, and she's the queen of our home, and we turn to her and show us in simple little things and in big things. Teach us, show us, you know. And our children see us looking to Mary. I don't think there's hardly a day that goes by that our children don't see a rosary in their father's hand. And
that's very important.
Absolutely.
I've had young adults, some 30, 40 years old, can still see my father kneel praying and what that did to me. Absolutely. You do that, Mark, huh?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's a good example of my father.
Oh, great. It must be Polish or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What, you're Irish?
Scotch and Irish and a little German, Father.
Okay. Well, no, we don't mean to play down the rosary, because Our Lady, every time she said, pray the rosary daily, why the emphasis in Fatima on the rosary in a family? Why is that so important? We've got just about 30 seconds.
Okay. I think it's very effective in bringing the family together to pray, to teach children the mysteries of the life of Our Lady and of Our Lord. And it brings us together to pray, to teach them to look to her for their help and guidance.
Absolutely. It is an education. Just the 15 mysteries are an education in themselves.
Now, I know when you have your Fatima family meetings, but when you do the daily rosary, you still bring in the mysteries.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, Father.
Oh, well, God love you, and thank you for all that you're doing for the Fatima family apostolate. You have been a real inspiration to me, and so I hope that many of you out there will order the charter, the manual, and found the Fatima Family Apostolate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This has been Fatima and the Family. For more information, contact the Immaculate Heart Messenger magazine at 1-800-721-MARY. And please join us again next time for Fatima and the Family here on EWTN. Global Catholic Radio.